Hi, it's Ken from Learn English 365. Podcast today is from an Instagram Live I did with an English teacher, a very well-known English teacher who's got a good following on Instagram, Teacher Will. And he's an American teacher and he's based out in Saudi Arabia. We talked about a few things about motivation for students, how to motivate the students and what really, really motivates students. And we talked a lot about culture as well. And we talked about kind of tactics, if you like, in the classroom to encourage the students. It was more about the motivation and the philosophical teaching, if you like, rather than grammar, etc. So it was very, very interesting. So this is a podcast. It's only about 40 minutes long. So I hope you enjoy it. And I'll speak to you at the end. Bye for now.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Mr. Will. How are you?
I am good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our special guest. I'm honored about that. Now, this gentleman is native to Scotland. And he's a teacher, and I'm gonna have him introduce himself. But, sir, let me first say thank you very much for joining. I appreciate it. Learners and extended family, I sent a message to him. I was like, hey, teacher, would you be interested in doing a live Instagram? And he accepted the invitation. So I'm very honored about that. Now, learners, listen, he's got we're going to hear from him. I got some questions for him. If he has questions, for by all means, learners, if you have questions are good. That means that we learn together. If you would be so kind as, is if you have a question and on your phone, if you have the capability to type in your question, please do that because it makes life easier for myself and teacher to see them. If not, then we'll try to multitask. So, Teacher Ken, thank you very much. Please introduce yourself. Let them know where you're calling from and we'll get right into it.
Thanks very much, Will, for inviting me on. I'm really excited with that countdown there, you know. my name's Ken. I'm from Scotland, but I haven't lived there for a long time, maybe about 15 years. And at the moment, I've been in Thailand and Bangkok for 10 years. And I teach English to university graduates who are looking to move their careers into the aviation industry. So I've been doing that for about 6 years, I think, 6 years or so. Prior to that, my background was actually in finance. So I was in finance for a few years with my own business, you know.
Okay. And
I left Scotland in, 2003. I had my own business there and I thought, I need a change, you know. And so I had a map in my office at home and I thought, where shall I go? And it was just a map of Europe because I thought the world ended at Europe, you know, at that time. And I closed my eyes and I put a pin in the map and I ended up in Portugal.
And, okay.
I'd never been to Portugal. I didn't even know what language they spoke or anything, you know. So 2 weeks later, me, my bags and my dog arrived in the Algarve in Portugal and we stayed there for a year or so, you know. And then I moved over to Spain. I lived in Spain for about 6 years or so and went back to Portugal for a couple of years to live. Then ended up moving around to Italy, working in Italy, Bulgaria. We spent a little bit of time in Romania as well. And at that time, I thought, the finance business is becoming a bit heavy, you know, in about 2008. You know, finance and property was my business. So it was
right.
Good luck,
and that was good. For those of you that were not possibly alive, 2008 financial world meltdown. I remember that.
So I thought, what shall I do? And my sister had just moved to Thailand with her husband. Well, they were actually living in Korea, I think, at the time, but he was working on the ship. So he was on for a month, off for a month. And I thought, I'll go and visit her. And that was 10 years ago and just kind of never went back.
Awesome.
So I've been in Thailand for 10 years now, you know.
So, teacher, it's interesting because you and I have a similar background in terms of the fact that I also came from the business environment and then I segued to teaching. So my career did not always a teacher, to be honest. I was like, why being a teacher? There's no money, even though a lot of family members thought that I would, you know, end up being a teacher. So that's ironic. But here's a question for you. For those individuals that might not have been to Thailand, how would you describe Thailand, the Thailand culture? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
Well, it's a bit different from when I first came here, you know. I actually came to Thailand about 1998. I came here for a month. I had a competition at work, and I won a month in Thailand. And I always say to myself, I'll come back to Thailand. But I forgot all about that. And, you know, 10 years later, or I was like, all right, I'm in Thailand. That's what I'd envisaged 10 years before, you know. But it's very different from when I first came here. Now I'm kind of like, I guess I've been living here for so long. It's kind of like my home. So the things I love about Thailand are also the things I hate about Thailand, you know.
Okay, so much, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. There's so much, nobody cares really, you know. Everyone does what they ever want to do, you know. But at the same time, that's really frustrating, you know. Like there's a village getting built just where I live, and they start, you know, the drills at 6:30 in the morning. Nobody cares, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but the culture's how would I say the culture? Since I've been a teacher here, you know, it's a lot of the students, they've never had like contact with we call them Farangs, from Westerners, you know. So a lot of them are very, very shy. They're very, very reserved at first, you know. But they're beautiful people. Once you start speaking, and especially if you speak to them in their language, and I know a little bit of Thai, so they open up really, really well, you know. And the spicy food, my goodness, I've had to become accustomed to all the spicy food. It's just at first when I came here, I'm right, I want fish and chips, and I want this. But I took it, you know, I would have one pepper in my chili, and my mouth would be on fire. Now I can take three chilies now, you know.
Okay. So it's been a decade, so you've evolved. Yeah. I love that. Okay, so we have people, for example, if we have people, you know, either aspiring students or teachers that, you know, possibly might want to teach in Thailand at some point, talk about the opportunities, the pay, how do you go it, what suggestions or advice would you recommend if someone wants to be a teacher in Thailand?
Well, you need you need a university degree. Any degree will get you a teaching job in Thailand. Any degree. It could be anything. It's very, very easy. They're crying out for teachers over here in Thailand, you know, native English speakers from the States or from the UK. If you get, you know, it's just a case of hopping on a plane, and when you get here, you'd have a job within a week easily. You know,
nice.
Really, really easy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's different levels. You know, there's a lot of kind of language schools. The pay for the language, I know when I first came here, the pay was, my goodness, the pay was, didn't even pay for my bus fare, you know.
Right, right.
Really well-paid jobs, you know.
Say that again, teacher. You were breaking up.
Yeah. No, since once you've got experience, the pay and everything, you know, increases.
Got it.
It's like, probably like yourself out in KSA, you know, it's not, you have to make the connections to get the good jobs, you know, once you get
I
here.
Do, yeah. I mean, I do think, to your point, there's certain areas of the world that, like, pay more versus than others. But I would agree with you that what is important is that whether you're a teacher, you're in finance, business development, or sales environment that I came out from, what becomes important is that you have to network. You know, you have to establish and build relationships. And so certainly, you know, the Middle East might pay more than, say, Thailand, but it didn't mean that I did not have to, you know, network, establish credibility. I get my bearings on the ground. So that's good. What? All right. So here's an interesting thing. What? Hold on. I think we got a question. Hold on 1 second. And learners, if you got a question, by all means, let us know. I get you, but when it comes to speaking, I fumble. All right. So difficult question. Hey, teacher, listen. I want to speak, but I fumble. I get confused. How can you help me, or what suggestions would you have on that? Because I fumble when I speak. I just don't know. I just fumble.
You personally?
No, as an example, I'm a student. But I have been known to fumble personally, you know.
You know, I lived in Spain, and I taught myself Spanish when I was in Spain. And I was very, very nervous when I was speaking Spanish. I lived in the south of Spain, and there's a lot of English speakers there. And but I wanted to speak the language, and I would speak like this, you know, I'm okay, and you're tengo 20, you know, I would speak very, very nervous and very shy. I was scared of making mistakes, and would they understand me? Is my accent correct? You know, and it was terrible, really, you know. And I was walking to work one day, and I went into the coffee shop to have my toast and my coffee, and I thought, right, I'm going to take this a little bit more seriously. And so what I started doing was I got the Spanish newspaper, and I had my coffee and my toast, and I just opened the newspaper and I started reading, but I started speaking and reading, you know, me llamo Ken, blah, 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 blah. And this really, really kind of, I don't know, it just put me on a different level. You know, after about a month or so of doing that, the practice that I got from that. And I remember the first time I worked in a Spanish office, and it was English speakers there as well. And I would see my English speaking friends answer the telephone. And I thought, oh, I want to do that. And so I practiced, what would I say? What would they say? And I would have two-way conversations with what was going to be said, you know. And eventually I plucked up the courage and I answered the phone and, hola, buena dia. And it was just a case of, you know, somebody saying someone's name. And I went and I just said, vale, un momentito, por favor. But it was just those words just made me feel so, I could speak Spanish now, you know. So for anyone who's fumbling, really, in any, you know yourself, Will, in anything, if you're fumbling because you're nervous, practice is the key to everything. If you don't practice, you're not getting anywhere, you know. I always say to my students, you know, how often do you speak English? And they say, oh, just when I come here 3 times a week. And I think, you know, if you go to the gym one time per week for half an hour, you know, you're not going to get anywhere, really. You have to be practicing, spending 15 minutes a day practicing, you know. And once you do that, I feel the confidence comes with it once you get over the initial fear of doing it for the first time. If you're prepared and you practice, everything falls into place.
I mean, it's so funny. A lot of times we usually say that in terms of practicing. And, you know, I think, you know, I've said to learners a lot of times, listen, anything in life, you know, you got to work at, you got to practice at. If there was a pill or a drink that, you know, we could take to become a fluent speaker, then, hey, it would happen, but there's not. I do like the aspect of how you were talking about you actually, you know, to develop, as AJ said, one of the learners, develop courage and confidence in yourself. You got the paper and you started reading it. So, you know, if that's coming from a native speaker or someone who knows another language, that's the thing. Exactly right. You got to practice. You have to sit back. And I would say what I would add on to you is or what you said would be to really get out of your comfort zone. I mean, you got out of your comfort zone by doing something new.
It was scary. I tell you what, I remember I would be walking to work. After this, I'd walk to work and I would have two-way conversations in my mind in Spanish. For example, I would go into the tapas bar and I would say, okay, what would the conversation be like? Okay, hola, buenos días. ¿Qué quieres? What do you want? Okay, quiero un café con leche. Okay, what would they say next? They would say, do you want anything else? Algo más? And I would say, oh yeah, tapita con pollo or whatever. And I would have these two-way conversations, you know. And I was looking for an apartment to rent in Spain, and I saw this beautiful location apartment. It was gorgeous, big balcony. I thought, I want that. And I saw the telephone number, you know, circular with the telephone number. And I thought, oh my God, I've got to phone. Oh no. And so I thought, right, I'm going to do this. So I wrote down a conversation. What would I say? What would their reply be? What would I say? What might they say next? And I kind of practiced this for, you know, for a little while. And eventually I plucked up the courage and I thought, right, I've got to do this. So I dialed in the number. I was below the apartment at the time. And they answered the phone, hola, buenos dias. And I was like, oh my God, my heart was beating, you know. And I was fumbling, you know. Hola, ¿qué tal? And but after that, the conversation just went exactly how I had planned it to go, you know. And, you know, I was, can I see the apartment? Puerto Velo? And it just went exactly how I had planned. And that was just through practice and preparing myself for what I was going to do, you know. Right. And that really, really, it's, as I said, it's all about practice, you know.
No, but again, but and I think not only that, I also think what's value is like, like practical application, step by step what you're doing. I mean, I think the thing is practice is one thing. If there's no, you know, I say this a lot of times to the learners. I'm like, listen, there's no action, there's no movement. I think it was like a couple. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Huh? No. Go on. Carry on.
No, I was just sitting back saying. I remember, like, I think it was like a couple days ago. I did a live on like public speaking, and I was like, "Listen, you got to prepare. You got to prepare." Mm. No acting. In my own life, I'll say it like this. Somebody wants to know: did you get the apartment eventually after you practiced?
I did actually. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, to your point, it's kind of like, you know, no. I said on the call, I kind of was like, listen, no action, no learning, no movement, no learning. So, Matt, you know, obviously as someone, you know, I speak French. I remember similar stories. I was afraid of having a conversation with a native French person. And I had to get myself out of that mindset to speak. Hey, Guillermo, I had to get my mindset out of that mindset to speak. So, again, setting goals, realistic goals, doing it, and believing that you can do it is half the key. So funny you said that, Ken. It reminded me on my story today, and I'm, you know, I think everything is in universal order. On my story today, I was like, "Yo," on my story, I posted "Fake it till you make it."
I saw that.
You know, because I was tired this morning, but it was like your story reminded me. I was like, "Listen, what did you do? You were afraid. You didn't know." You wanted the apartment, and what did you do? You faked it till you made it, but then what did you do? You practiced, you did step by step. So learners, listen, fake it till you make it.
It's very true. I think a lot of times, though, as well, certainly I've found this is, I don't know if it's the same where you are just now, but the Thai kind of education system is like copy and repeat. So there's no kind of critical thinking as such. And I think a lot of students need to learn what to learn, you know, rather, you know, or not what to learn, but how to learn, if you like, you know.
I think that's a valid point. You know, it's interesting because I've never been to Thailand. I would like to go there one day because the landscape and the food, I love spicy food that comes from my culture. So when I look at the landscape of Thailand and I look at the food, I'm like, oh my God, I have to visit there one day. With that being said, I would say that, I do think that as a whole, the ESL, you know, let me say it like this. I think, you know, as being someone who's teaching going almost on 10 years, I'm not like there with you there yet, but I do think that the methodology with respect to teaching, ESL teaching and education as a whole needs to, I do not think the aspect of critical thinking is taught anywhere in the world, but particularly, I think that's a skill set that would, at least in my own perspective, that I try to do when teaching English. I don't think that people are really taught how to think critically. I don't think that people are taught how to be objective or look at both sides of a perspective. And I think where that's important in English is that, you know, from the simplest thing of explaining, like, explaining a word. I mean, I do a drill with my students and I'll ask them, what's this? I did this actually today in class. I was like, in today's class, the students had sentences and they had to explain the sentences, but they had to do each individual word. And some of them were, one of the sentences was the chair is, because they're upper elementary. I was like, the chair is heavy. And the guy said chair. And I was like, no, 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 no. I was like, what is that? They're like, a chair. I was like, no. Explain what it is, right? So I do think to your point that, you know, critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, I think are things that are not necessarily as encouraged in education as a whole, and I think particularly in the ESL industry. I think so.
I think it's all going to change. You know, technology is moving on, and I think that a lot of people are going to be finding out how to do it by themselves over the next, you know, 5-10 years, whatever, you know.
Well, to that point, Ken, do you – okay, so here's something you made me think about. And learners, listen, if you just go to Ken here, he's from Scotland, but he's currently teaching in Thailand. So by all means, if you have questions, we're here for you. So ask your questions. Yeah. That's how we learn, okay?
That's how we learn.
Ken, to your point, you mentioned earlier about technology, right? And you think that, you know, 5 to 10 years. Here's a question for you. What role do you think technology has played in the educational process with respect to learning English? And as the main question I have for you is do you think that technology has made people lazy in terms of acquiring the language? Or is that too general a statement?
I think it's too general. I think technology, I think learning a language is like playing the guitar. You either like it or you don't. It's like going to the gym. You either like it or you don't. If you want to learn a language and you've got the motivation to do it, for example, where I work, the students have got the motivation because they want to, you know, move their careers into a really, for Thailand, a top career. So most of them have got the motivation to do it, you know. If you've got the motivation, then technology is at your fingertips. I don't think it makes people lazy. It just puts people into a different sphere, if you like, you know, a different area. We're just moving forward.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Do you think with the advent of technology then it has made people some people, let me use proper do you think it's made some people lazy? Meaning that there's a bunch of resources out there, whether it's applications, whether it's social media, whether it's the internet, whatever it is, do you think that it is made lazy? Because if information is readily available at their fingertips, then some people, what they will that might not necessarily even research the information themselves and automatically just ask you.
Well, do you think our Instagram pages are making people lazy? I think when you come down to it, language is all about application. You could have a TOEIC score of 990 or an IELTS score 9, whatever, but if you're not actually using that on a day-to-day basis, what use is that for you? I mean, I've had a student whose you know, TOEIC score was top, but they never spoke English. They knew the grammar, they knew the structures, but when it come to speaking, the tears would start flooding, you know? They just didn't have the practical application of speaking. Whatever it is, the language is all about speaking. It doesn't matter if you make mistakes. Too many people are scared of making mistakes, and it's crazy. Maybe that comes from the education system. You know, you and I are probably about the same age. You know, when we were younger, if we got it wrong, it was... You
know, right, exactly. Not allowed to make mistakes, or you were, at least in my case, you were punished for it if you did. So, yes.
I mean, when I first came here, I worked in a government school here, and... I remember a teacher brought out a big cane and whacked the kid in the back. And I thought, what? You know, I couldn't believe that. And I think a lot of kids have a fear. Certainly, one of the things I go in quite hard with my students at first just to scare them a little bit. And then I totally relax. And a lot of them say, Ken, you know, when I was at school, I hated English because if I got it wrong, if I said Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, you know, it was a fear thing, you know, and it put a lot of people off learning or wanting to learn, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's all about practical, as I said.
No, it's interesting you asked that question about, so I agree with you that it's interesting. I do think that, you know, if we talk about our Instagram pages or if we talk about other social media applications, I'll say it like this. I do think that ultimately it comes down to the reason of why people want to learn a language.
Their
and
motivation,
so
absolutely.
Are they motivated? I do think that sometimes, though, there is a percentage of people that they have these resources and there's a sense of entitlement that because these resources are here, whether some people have to, whether those resources are free and or whether they have to pay for them, that there is such available information that I think that curiosity is lost. And what do I mean by that? You and I are probably the same age. So it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. When I was learning in France, there was no YouTube, Instagram, and Lingo Hut, things of that nature. I had to look it up in a dictionary, right? I was inquisitive. And so what I find interesting with the percentage of students there or some people, learners, extended family that I have is it says, okay, wait, yes, I would hope that my page is adding value. I would hope that my page is changing the face of English. I would hope that, you know, that I would be of service or inspire someone. Yet it's interesting if you, and I don't know if you've done this exercise, is that we both have videos. Have you recently asked any of your followers, okay, hey, have you checked this video? Have you reviewed my content? Not to say that your content is not good or bad, but I do think there's a percentage of people that just don't, they don't review it. So it's a blessing in disguise. Yes, it's a good thing because it's an aid or a tool, but yet and still there the very tool they have, some don't apply it for practical application.
You know something, I've only been on my Instagram properly for a couple of months, and I thought, how can I get people speaking? And I did this thing, this video, and it was, I've got this thing where Instagram is huge, and there's enough English speakers, teachers to go around everyone to help everyone. And I thought to myself, how can we get everyone involved? And I thought, right, I put this video out and I says, right, what to do is read for a minute, put a 1 minute video and read. And upload the video, tag me on it, and I'll review you. And there was nothing that was probably my naivety, you know, thinking that, you know, something could happen. But then I actually said, okay, DM me a voice message with these examples. And to be fair, there are regular people who will DM me voice messages using the examples from the video. You know, right. So I'm building up a kind of relationship with them. Right. So I guess... I think technology is, I believe that technology, maybe it's just me being positive, but I think technology, if you've got the right motivation, is huge, is a huge tool. And I wish I had it when I was younger, you know?
Yeah, truly. Well, I think that you said the critical thing. I think it's when you said it's the motivation, or I would add a couple words on there. I think it's the motivation, the confidence, the accountability, and the inspiration to use all of the tools that you have.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think the confidence part is huge. Confidence is like, I believe confidence is 80, 90% of learning a language, you know. And I think once students get over the first stage of getting over their, as you said earlier, Will, is getting out their comfort zone. Once they get over that, I think it opens up a huge new world for them, you know. And they're not scared to put their point of view across, or they're not scared to try and explain. I mean, for example, I'm in class and I can speak a little bit of Thai. I understand more than I speak. My wife is Thai, and when I go into my Thai class, I always speak Thai. I know a couple of my students are watching this. I speak Thai a little bit, and my Thai is a very tonal accent, you know, ba 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 ba. So if you say a word with the wrong tone, it means something else, you know.
Okay.
And I know my accent is terrible, you know, but it gets a kind of laugh out the students. They can see, okay, he's making a mistake.
Right.
So it's okay to make a mistake, you know. You're still being, you know, you're still making yourself understood, you know. And as you said earlier on about the inspiration, if the teacher can kind of bring themselves down to the level, not over on this side, but on the same level. I think
that inspires
so many students, you know.
Definitely. Within Thailand, for the majority of your students, or in your experience, do they? This is one of the things that I struggle with, and you know, which is not right or wrong. Do they have this whole desire to? Do they have a desire to sound like a native? Because here's one of my frustrations, and you and I are both native, right? Like, you and I are both native.
I'll tell you, I've had so many comments. Are you Russian? Are you German? Are you French? Are you, you know?
Really?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. I've actually got an Irish friend. He's maybe watching this, and there was a comment, are you German? And he sent me the comment, you know, he was killing himself laughing, you know, because obviously me and him being Irish and Scottish, I've got similar accents. You know?
Right. Sarah, you know, I run into this struggle. And then again, I guess, is there a desire with your students, whether in Thailand or even your learners, you know, your followers on Instagram, to sound like a native? Because I kind of struggle with that. Like, if we say that English is a global international language, and there's only, you know, and I mean, I'll say it like this. The goal for me, at least what I try to say to my learners, is I'm like, yo, be fluent in the language. Yeah. Be fluent in English. Develop your fluency. But so many people are so fascinated wanting to sound like a native. Now, I understand that some people might not want to be ridiculed, or it could be as the standard, or, but I'm like, even, I mean, you and I are both natives. You have a different accent. I have a different accent. Every language in the world has a different accent. And sometimes what I find interesting is that, and I want to get your thoughts, is that, oh my God, they want to sound like a native. I'm like, how about you sound like yourself and be fluent first, then worry about your accent. Is that, in your experience, is that similar within Thailand, or is that just some of my followers or learners?
You know, so it's mostly, to be honest with you, it's mostly on Instagram I get this.
Okay.
In Thailand, the accent is very different. They stress the final syllable. So instead of, for example, we say university, but they say university. So we're having to move the syllable back a bit. But when people say, I want to have a British accent, there's no such thing as a British accent. You know, maybe in the 1950s on the old newsreels, you know, the Queen's English, you know, type of thing, you know.
Right.
You know, but, you know, if you travel, I always say this, you know, you travel 50, 60 kilometres in any direction in the UK and the accent changes. You know, it's probably more in the States. But, you know, if I'm at home in Scotland, if I travel up to Aberdeen, which is the next city, about 70 miles, you know, they're all fit like, and the accent is what? You know, and it takes me a couple of minutes to get into the accent, you know?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. So there's no, for the viewers, there's no such thing as a British accent, you know, as such.
Okay,
maybe there's an old style.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so question, let me follow up on that. So are your students more apt to be fluent? Do they desire fluency first, or do they desire accent first?
My students desire fluency, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
100%. There's been a couple of students whose accents have been, well, they don't have a Thai accent, which is fantastic. But they're more into being fluent and smooth when they, and there's maybe something I drill into them, you know, forget about accents, be smooth and fluent, get your linking sounds together, you know, and speak in five or six syllables. And learn like that instead of, you know, having the old style Queen's English, you know, whatever the accent is from there. You know?
Yeah, well, you know what, I'm glad we're actually talking, because that's a new learning for me. That's an insight for me, because at least possibly because I'm in Saudi, or because I'm on Instagram, in terms of the thing is, I hear a lot of individuals say, yo, I want to sound like native. I want to sound like native. And I like the point that you mentioned in terms of the fact of, hey, being clear, pronouncing your syllables correctly. And so that's a learning for me. So I'm definitely excited that we're being on the call, because I've never understood it. I'm like, I'm a native, and what? I'm like, if I go to America right now, there are over 20 different accents. What's the glue?
Yeah,
what's the foundation? It's in it's fluency, to be understood, to work on pronunciation, pronouncing your words, intonation.
Absolutely.
If you become fluent, then the accent will automatically follow, you know.
Why do you think that is? Elaborate on that.
Well, for example, if I can take the Thai example, they stress the final sounds. You know, I went to university, but if we bring the syllable back, they can actually link the final sound onto the next preposition, if you like, you know, which will usually be a vowel, and then that way they can be a little bit more smoother. And then from that, they can actually build on the accent if they want an accent. But really, they can't learn an accent. You really have to be integrated into that community to get the accent. I mean, for example, when I lived in Spain, I lived in Andalusia in the south, and their accent was very, very different to most Spanish, and they never pronounced the S's or the D's, you know. I remember going for dinner with my friend, and she said, "Can I have some swordfish? Can I have pe para?" Instead of saying peche espada, she would say pe pa. I thought, goodness, what language is that, you know? Because I'd been there for a while and I integrated myself, I started picking up the accent. But that's because I was submerged into that environment, you know?
Right. Well, no, I think it's to your point. I mean, it's kind of like immerse yourself in English, right? And also, too, you can actually hear the different accents. That's good because, again, you know, we don't – one of the learners said, I guess it goes to learners prefer American accent. I mean, a lot of them do. Ain't the same. You know my take on it. I'm like, yo, accent is part of who you are. Focus on fluency, then try to have American accent if you want. But there's not a prerequisite out there for it. More importantly, I don't think that we should, if it applies, it applies. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't necessarily think that we should treat people in a demeaning manner or a disrespectful manner because they don't have American accent, which if it applies, it applies. If it doesn't, it doesn't, because some people do. Oh, why are you speaking like that? Why you have that accent? I don't like this accent. Well, somebody might not like your accent. Are they fluent? Like, wake up, people. Again, I do understand it. I mean, and also, too, I mean, if I'm honest, that's depending on certain teachers, depending on certain countries and cultures and organizations, that is considered the standard. So they will use that as a marketing tool or as a point of differentiation, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, with the aviation industry that I'm in, it seems like the British accent is kind of marketed as the favored accent, you know?
Right.
Because it's polite accent, but nobody can really have the British accent, you know?
Right. Teacher Ken, excellent. You have the last word, so take it away.
I just want to thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure. You know, I'm very new to this IG Live, and I was quite nervous all day thinking about it. Because I've been watching your videos, but it's been a pleasure. I saw your videos, and I want to thank you very much for doing that. And learners, just remember, forget the accent and don't be afraid of making any mistakes. So that was my Instagram Live with English teacher Will. I hope you enjoyed it. There was a few things there, and Will's very, very knowledgeable, very direct when he speaks, which is excellent. And he really looks at the reasons why people want to learn, which is very, very interesting. So give him a follow on Instagram and give myself a follow if you haven't done also at Get English Tips on Instagram. So I hope you enjoyed that. And if you have any questions, if you want to get in touch, you can email me ken@ajarnken.com or on my Instagram page. So that's all for just now, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.